place by Egypt. So it's not simply a matter of Israel's doing something. Egypt is doing the same thing. Why is Egypt doing that? If you want to discuss this in detail, maybe we should explore that. Because Egypt is not putting in place border controls because the Israelis have pressured Egypt to do it. Egypt is doing it for their own national purposes. And what are those purposes? It's to prevent the export of terrorism from the Gaza Strip into Egypt.
All right, Ken O'Keefe, you heard Bob Iyer's definition there of the siege. What do you think about that definition?
Well, first of all, I'll make no apologies at all for being emotional, because I am a fully functioning human being. And if you're not angry at the kind of injustice that results in the wiping out of 80 families in this most recent massacre that Israel has committed, the destruction of thousands of homes, totally ripping apart families, if you're not angry or if you're not upset about that, then something is wrong with you. You've lost some of your humanity. As far as the blockade is concerned, the siege, it is in fact a siege on all fronts. It's an air, land, sea blockade. And to say that it's simply not allowing people to travel into Israel is ludicrous. I've been on a ship that's traveled towards Gaza that's been attacked by Israel. I've also been on one that successfully made it, which was an amazing feat in itself. That place is cut off completely. And unless you have some serious contacts or are willing to be able to brave the tunnels between Gaza and Egypt, you are stuck there. It is a siege, full-on siege, and it is affecting children more than anyone else. Of the 1.8 million people living there, over half of them are children. They have been put on a diet, as quoted by Israeli officials, and they are malnourished, anemic, and they have trauma from years and years of terrorism, state-sponsored terrorism. And again, I make no apologies for being emotional about this. I see the Palestinians as brothers and sisters, and my brothers and sisters are being violated. If you want to get into the history of why we got to this place, I'm absolutely fine with that as well. The partition plan that was endorsed by the UN, which gave over 60% of the land to less than 15% of the people, is the origin of this problem. The theft of the land from the people who had lived there generation after generation for eons, literally, is the problem. It is an absolute absurdity to think that people who have been dispossessed of their land and treated as subhumans for over 60 plus years will accept anything less than full freedom and dignity. And until there is a state in that region which respects all of the people, not a Jewish state which affords certain rights to a certain group of people and treats others as subhumans, until there is, in my opinion, one state free for all people, Christians as well, who are also treated like dogs by many within the power structure of Israel, until there is one state, in my opinion, not two, which treats everyone with respect, we will never see any resolution to this conflict at all.
Bob Iyer's, unless you have a reaction, there was one point where Secretary of State John Kerry came out and said that, you know, this siege, yes, it's a problem. It's got to be dealt with. Do you take his words to be sincere? Of course, he then did come out a bit later during the war, and he said that Gaza has to be demilitarized after Israel. Well, I'm sure you heard about how Israel condemned Kerry's role in the mediation process based on the I believe it was a ceasefire agreement that was put in place with the help of Turkey and Qatar. Israel said that the U.S. was not considering Israel's safety. Do you think that if this was to break and an agreement was to come through in any shape or form, it would have to involve the United States or not?
I think any agreement that takes place in the region, regardless of whether the political sponsors of the various combatants, the United States on the part of Israel or Iran on the part of Hamas, these sponsor states will not agree to anything unless the two principal parties, Hamas and Israel, can strike an agreement that their sponsors will then support. This is not a unilateral problem confronting the United States. Hamas does not exist in isolation. Hamas has their own political sponsors, and they rely on those to continue and further Hamas's objectives within the region. So what we have to be able to do is to say, until the two combatants, until the two parties can come to some accommodation, it's unlikely that their political sponsors are going to be able to impose their will on their sponsoree, if there is such a term. So Iran's not going to try to impose upon Hamas the requirement to agree to whatever Israel wants, and the United States is not going to impose upon Israel the requirement to agree to whatever Hamas wants. Both of these big sponsors will sit back and say, if you guys can cut a deal, we'll support it. The problem is Hamas and Israel are not able to cut a deal.
Ken O'Keefe, I'm going to tell you what Iran's leader has said. If you're not aware, this is his most recent statement. Ayatollah Khamenei is saying that Israel should pay for the crimes that it committed in Gaza by ending the siege of the Palestinian territory. Of course, Bob Iyer says that this is just not going to happen. Do you think that there's a chance that Israel, given that there's a UN report, even though many are saying it's not going to happen, has come out with a panel of judges that they say are going to conduct an investigation, similar to what the Goldstone report was like, into war crimes committed by both sides? Were there to be, is there, do you have any faith in this report and investigation, first of all? And if Israel was to be implicated, do you think that would be a point for negotiation? And I'm putting that in the context of what Iran's leader has said, that if they were to be committed to this, then Israel might lift the siege of Gaza?
Yes, I agree with the Supreme Leader wholeheartedly that the very least that is absolutely necessary is the lifting of the siege. And I will agree with the gentleman that, yes, Egypt has also been carrying out a blockade, much to the shame of all Arabs and Muslims of that region. Egypt has been a partner with Israel, whether it was under Hosni Mubarak, whether it was even under Morsi, quite frankly, and now under Sisi as well. They have not lifted the siege. They have cooperated with Israel. They seem to be best friends and allies in the cause of destroying the Palestinian people's right to live a dignified life. As far as Hamas and Israel, it's all up to these two parties. That's not true at all. The United States is the one funding Israel. The American people have been lied to for decades about what is really happening and how their tax dollars are being used. All the while, they're being told, like the Europeans as well, that you don't have enough money for social services, education, infrastructure, and all these sorts of things, but we do have plenty of money for Israel. And I can assure you, the American people are going to reach a point, and they're already reaching it, quite frankly, where they're going to say, enough is enough. And these traitors within the U.S. Congress and the White House, who have been signing blank checks over to Israel, giving them the arms that they therefore use to basically torture and exterminate the people of Palestine, this is going to come back on them. And all the mouthpieces, including intelligence officers and whatnot, who continue to ignore the fact that the United States is party to massive crimes in Palestine by allowing an armed invader, an occupier, to basically destroy everything that is humane within Palestine. This is a fact, and absolutely 100%, if we're looking for a solution, one thing has to be heeded, and because it's been absent in this world, and that is true and proper international law. The United States and Israel, more than any other nations on this planet, need to be facing war crimes and crimes against humanity charges. And until such time as we as people insist that international law is actually heeded and that charges are brought and convictions are achieved, until this happens, we will continue to see this kind of impunity, which will attempt a world war and possibly nuclear annihilation. I am very hopeful that we as people will insist that international law is finally applied.
Bob Iyer, you heard Ken O'Keefe there. I mean, we can't get out of the emotional sentiment here, not on Ken O'Keefe, but, well, you were in the UK. I'm sure you witnessed one of the biggest demonstrations, if not the biggest, against Israel that happened in London. I believe there's 150,000 people that came out, not to mention what happened in South Africa and Cape Town, of course, in Tehran and Australia. Bob Iyer, what is Israel's plans? I mean, are they going to attack the Gaza Strip again? Last time around, they said we destroyed 30 tunnels and we completed our mission. I mean, there's not much left above ground for Israel to hit. I mean, what do you think is their plan here? Because obviously things can't go back to the status quo.
I'm not sure why they can't go back to the status quo, because that's apparently what will happen. Let's divorce all of the sentiment and all of the historical, they did this, we did that, they did this, we did that, they're wrong, we're wrong. Let's just put that aside for a moment and say we have two parties who are trying to strike some agreement on how to stop fighting. And any sort of negotiated agreement is one based on both sides willing to compromise to some degree on what their end-state objectives are. The problem confronting us right now is neither Hamas nor Israel has shown any willingness or sign of compromise. Both sides are hard over and intransigent in what their viewpoints are, which suggests to me that the best we can hope for is some temporary lull in the hostilities, some suspension of combatant operations until either the Israelis once again decide they've had enough of attacks from Hamas and they reinvade, or Hamas thinks that they've had enough of being pushed around by Israel and they're going to increase their offensive operations against Israel.
Very well. I got to stop you there. We got just a minute or less left. Ken O'Keefe, I saw you shaking your head. Go ahead.
Listen, I don't care what any of these people say. I have no question, no doubt whatsoever, Palestine will be free. There is no doubt in my mind, just like the apartheid regime of South Africa and the British Empire and most of Ireland did not continue, it is not going to be up to Israel. Despite the fact that Israel has held so much power and had so much favor for so many decades, it will not be able to continue this much longer because the whole world is finally realizing just what an absolute monstrosity this state is. And if it is capable of doing this to the Palestinians with hundreds of nuclear weapons, what's to stop it from doing it to other people? So we will, as human beings, stop this. We will, and Palestine will be free. It will be, in my opinion, one state, free and democratic for all people, not one group of people, all people. That is the solution, and it will happen.
Thank you very much for that. Journalist and peace activist Ken O'Keefe with his statements there from London. And thank you, Bob Ayers, former U.S. intelligence officer who spoke to us for Somerset in the U.K. Thanks for tuning into another edition of the Debate Newsroom at PressTV.ir. Here's our email address for any comments or questions. From Mikhail Tavoy and the entire team in the capital, Tehran. It's goodbye.